Good morning. Hope you are doing well this morning. Good crowd. I know a lot of us have been dealing with sickness. It seems to be going through our church. Different things seem to be going through our church. And I'm just thankful for us to have all of us here together today to worship God. We are going to continue in our series, B. It's our word of the year. I always give a word to our church every year at the beginning of the year, a word that God has laid on my heart. And this year, that word happens to be. Last week, we talked about how we should strive to be who Jesus has called his followers to be. Last week was about obedience, that we are called to be holy, that we are called to be obedient followers of God. And we said that to be like Jesus, because that's what Jesus tells us to be, we must be transformed. And in order to be transformed, we don't do that process ourselves. It's a process that God does in us, so we have to make ourselves available or surrendered. This week I want to talk about the second way that we're applying this word this year, and it's this. Be who God has called you to be. Be who God has called you to be. This is going to the individual. We all have the same calling in some ways, but also our calling is different in another sense. We are all called to be a part of the body of Christ. That's what Paul uses to refer to the church, that we are the body of Christ, and that's the analogy that we'll be working with today. He tells us in Corinthians that each one of us is a part of the body, a member of the body, and we all have different functions. We all have different ways of acting, but we are all called to be a part of the body of Christ. We are all called to make disciples. We are all called to live in obedience to God, to serve, and to worship Him. That is the calling that we all hold in common, but how that plays out in each individual is a little bit different. Because while we are all called to be a part of the body of Christ, we are all called to be a different part of the body of Christ. Each individual disciples other people a little bit differently, depending on how God has gifted us. Each individual serves it a little bit differently depending on what abilities we have. People, I think, tend to know what we are called to do as a follower of Jesus. We're called to worship Him, to live in obedience to Him. We're called to serve Him. But I think we often struggle figuring out exactly what that looks like for me, for you, as an individual. And because we struggle so much with that, there's some problems that come as a result of that. When we have people in the church who are not doing what they are called to do individually, the body of Christ is not operating at its fullest capacity. It'd be like missing a limb or missing a part of your body. If you're missing a part of your body's not operating the best that it possibly can. If the church is missing a part of its body, if we're missing a part that is supposed to be active, because what I like about using the analogy that the church is called the body of Christ is that the body moves. The body is called to be active and alive. The church is alive because we are a part of the church. The church is called to be active. When Paul refers us to the body of Christ, we know Jesus is not here physically right now, yet He is at work in and through all of us. We are called to be, literally, the body of Christ, His representatives here on earth. When a part of the body is not operating as it should in terms of the body of Christ, then the church is not making as many disciples as we could make. The church is not being the light that Jesus has called us to be, and so darkness progresses. And then on individual church levels, if the church, members of the body of an individual church is not operating as it should, the church will die. How many churches have we seen have to close their doors because fewer and fewer and fewer people did what God has called them to do. The second problem with followers of Jesus not living out their individual callings is that they are walking around in this life without knowing their purpose in life. We are built with this desire to do something meaningful in this life. As followers of Jesus, we should want to do something meaningful for God. We should want to feel useful. We should want to have a purpose. This is inbuilt in us from when we were born. This is inbuilt in us from creation. Everybody, including non-believers, they have this desire to have some type of purpose in life. No one wants to feel like they don't mean anything. We want to mean something and do something and be useful and have a purpose. The problem in the church is that we have some people in the church who have not found their purpose in life. And because of that, their life feels empty. Their life feels unfulfilled. They feel like they're simply going through the motions. And when you get to that point, you begin to lose this passion that you once had for the calls of Christ, to spread the gospel of Christ, to make disciples. And I wonder if there's some of us who are at that point today, not knowing what our purpose is in life as a member of the body of Christ, and we feel empty. I wonder if our church is not operating to its fullest capacity because individual members of the body are not serving the way God has gifted them to serve. So today I want to talk to you about all of us being who God has called us to be as individuals in 2023. To find our individual purpose so that our church and the greater church can fulfill its purpose in our community to our fullest ability. Here's my first point for you. Every follower of Jesus has been uniquely gifted to serve a specific purpose in the body of Christ. Every follower of Jesus has been uniquely gifted to serve a specific purpose in the body of Christ. A lot of those words are intentionally put in there, including the word every. I want people to know that every follower of Jesus, no one's excluded from that. You've been gifted to serve in such a way. We know this based off of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul tells the Ephesian church that we are God's handiwork. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He says we are God's handiwork. God created us. We are, I think about handiwork, I think about maybe a carpenter making wood into something that he designs it to be. Or we're here in Seagrove, pottery capital of the world. I think about a potter taking pottery and morphing it into something that is useful. Well, that's what God has done with us. We are God's handiwork. He has created us to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We're told in Genesis 1:27 that God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He created us. He created humanity. He created us individually. It's what Psalm 139, 13 through 14 says. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God has uniquely crafted us, created us. Every person in this world has been uniquely created by God. For believers, God has created us for a specific purpose. God is not limited by our sense of time. So God can see the beginning from the end. And so it's really cool to know that God knows what's going to happen the rest of our earthly lives. God also knows what's going to happen in this world. He knows what we're going to face. He knew that COVID was going to be a thing a few years ago. He knows what wars are going to come ahead of us. He knows everything. And so what God chooses to do is that God will create and craft us individuals to serve a specific purpose to meet the problems that are to come. Which is really cool to think that God has created you for maybe a certain purpose that's going to be served in the next few years, or maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 years. God has gifted you in such a way that it's going to help yourself and maybe your family and maybe your other believers and maybe this world handle that problem. He has a plan and a purpose for your life that he wants you to fulfill. Every person in this room, he has a plan. Every person in this room, he has created you for a purpose. Every person has been created for a purpose. It's up to them whether they fulfill it or not. When we come to faith in Jesus, we're told that God actually deposits his Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. We should not refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. He's a person that is at work in us. And so when we come to faith in Jesus, he deposits his Spirit in us. And this Spirit is the same one that all believers share. That's what we're told in 1 Corinthians 12. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit in us if we have come to faith in Jesus. Non-believers don't have the Holy Spirit, so they have no help fulfilling their God-given purpose because they have not welcomed God into their life. But we, believers in Jesus, have welcomed God into our life. And so what he does is he gives us his Holy Spirit. Now, his Spirit begins to work in us from the inside out. And so we're told in 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So while we have the same Holy Spirit, the way the Holy Spirit manifests itself in our life is different. The way the Holy Spirit manifests in your life is different from how he manifests in my life. But because we all have the same Spirit, he uses us all for the common good. Which is cool to think that it's not a coincidence that you are a part of this church. Chances are you are a part of this church because you have been gifted in a certain way that no one else in this church has been gifted. Chances are you are part of this church because there's a place that our church is missing in its ability to serve this community. And God has gifted you to fulfill that specific purpose. And so the Holy Spirit's desiring to work through you for the common good of making disciples, of spreading the gospel, of reaching people in this community. Paul then goes through the different ways the Holy Spirit works through us. He gives a list of what we would call spiritual gifts. And at the end of the sermon today, I'm going to put a list up here. And my prayer is that you're going to spend some time with God today. And you're going to ask God how he has gifted you specifically. But here in Corinthians, he lists some ways that the Holy Spirit will gift us. He lists wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, interpretation of tongues, speaking in tongues. Elsewhere, teaching is listed, administration, service, leading, giving, mercy, helping others. We'll have the list at the end, but in Scripture, there are ways in which the Holy Spirit gifts believers to serve the common good, as that verse says, in the church. Now, I want to take this time now to differentiate between spiritual gifts versus natural abilities. Spiritual gifts are given to believers only. Spiritual gifts are not given to non-believers. But does that mean that someone who is not a believer couldn't be a good teacher, or show mercy, or serve, or be wise, or have faith, or great knowledge, or be a good leader? No. Just because they're not a believer doesn't mean that they can't be good at those things. Some of the best leaders in this world are not Christians. Some of the quote-unquote smartest people in this world, And I say quote unquote because you're not very smart if you don't know Jesus. But anyway, are not believers. Some of the best teachers are not believers. See, this goes to the natural abilities that I think we have been given. I think we all have been given natural abilities that we have had since our birth. We are geared towards these natural abilities, but because we are created in the image of God. This is a really beautiful thing to think about. Everyone, every human being is created in the image of God. So if you are created in the image of God, don't you think you're going to get some of the attributes of God? Me and Sarah made Elijah. Elijah, you can ask someone else how that happened. Elijah has some of my attributes. He has some of Sarah's attributes. We are created in the image of God. So you would think that because we are created in the image of God, we would get some of God's attributes. Now, are we going to be fully God like God? No. There's one person, and that was Jesus. But we are going to get some of the things that God is naturally good at. We're going to have some of that in our creation, in our being, as natural abilities that we have been gifted with by our Creator. That's why non-believers can be great leaders. That's why sometimes non-believers are more merciful than believers. God has gifted us, everybody, with these natural abilities, but they are different from spiritual gifts. For believers, I think God can make our natural abilities greater. And of course He's going to. Because when you start spending time with God, He's going to develop you into who He has called you to be. God will often, though, give us ability that we never thought we had in the first place. And it's because we did. It's a spiritual gift. Let me use myself as an example. I've always been a natural leader. And then the other gift or ability I think I've always had is an administrator. I've always been naturally gifted to lead other people. I've always been geared towards leadership. At Food Lion, I moved up as high as I wanted to go and was leading other people. Even going back to my childhood, me and Alex and my cousins and Aaron used to play on the farm all the time. And my natural leadership abilities and really the gift to administer came out. I used to plan out our days on a piece of paper, like what we were playing from what time to this time. And we used to do bike races all the time around my grandma's house, and we would plan where we're starting at and so on and so forth. But as a child, my mom could tell you, I had the gift of leadership. And I had the gift of administration, or that was some natural abilities that God has given me. But when I begin to follow Jesus, get serious in my relationship with Jesus, and I begin to feel that call to preach and to teach, that's a spiritual gift. Because me, I am pretty bashful. I'm pretty shy. I've always been. I don't like talking to people. I especially don't like talking from a stage in front of a lot of people. I remember doing my senior project in high school and my stomach being all torn up, not being able to eat because I was so nervous. I was one of those that sat in class just hoping the teacher would not call on me because I did not want to speak in front of the whole class. Like, that was me. I hated doing any type of projects where you had to present or anything like that. That's me. And so then when God called me to be a pastor, to preach and teach, I remember my first sermon at Next thinking, God, I don't have this natural ability. You're going to have to work through me. You are going to have to gift me in such a way to fulfill my purpose in this life. And that's exactly what He did. And it's something that I'm still continuing to develop and grow in. But I guess I'm an all right preacher because y'all keep showing up every Sunday. But I'm still, like, I'm still bashful. I'm still shy. I'm still an introvert very much. And I don't know who I told the other day, I would much rather teach in front of all of you than in a group of 10 or 15. At the funeral on Thursday, we had 90-something people packed in here. We had to add seats. I would rather teach in front of 90-something people even than this many people. That's just how God has gifted me. I also think that God has gifted me with the spiritual gift of faith. I used to be one of the most pessimistic people. Worst case scenario would play out in my brain every time. And to plant a church, though, requires faith. It's not faith that I have. It's faith God has given me. And then the other one that I think that God has given me is wisdom. People tell me I'm awfully wise for as young as I am, and that's not because of me. That's because of God. I think wisdom is one of those things that you can only get from God, or mistakes. I've heard somewhere that you become wise after you keep making mistakes. But for me, I think God has given me the gift of wisdom. And I'm thankful for all that he has continued to give me. So what God has done is he's taken some of my natural abilities, leadership, administration. I do both of those with pastoring. And he's combined that with the spiritual gifts of teaching, faith, and wisdom in order for me to fulfill my purpose, which was to plant this church, or one of my purposes in life, which was to plant this church so that you would have a place to come on Sunday mornings to worship God, and you would have a family to belong to as we strive to follow God together. I'm thankful God has used me to fulfill that purpose in my life, and I'm still continuing to grow in my gifts and develop them and find out how God is leading me. But I'm thankful for the way that God has used me. But I am only one person. Can you imagine what would happen if we all began to live out our individual callings, knowing how God has gifted us and created us to further his kingdom? We have some in the church who are doing that very thing. We have others that I think God is calling to do even more than they are now. This is what I would call a transition point. I just wanted it on the screen. It is our responsibility, church, to fan into flame the gifts God has given us. It's what Paul tells young Timothy. He's a young pastor like myself. He tells young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." See, God has started this spark in all of us. But just as a fire needs oxygen, fan into flame that spark that God has given you. If you are a believer here today, he has gifted you to serve your purpose in the church, in this world in some way. That's the spark, and it's a spark that every believer has. It is our responsibility to fan into flame the gift God has given us. Let's talk about how to be everything God has called each and every one of us to be. Three steps. The first step is this. First, you got to believe God has gifted you to be someone important in the body of Christ. First step is believe. This right here is a huge step. I'm going to structure this point around three false beliefs that I think followers of Jesus fall for. False belief number one is that we believe God hasn't gifted us to do anything. He gifts every believer spiritual gifts. No believer is excluded. Period. Any believer that believes that they have not been gifted with gifts from the Holy Spirit is falling for the lies of Satan. In fact, I think this is one of his strategies to get people in the church to simply come to church on Sunday morning, sit their butt in the seats, sing a few songs to God, listen to the preacher for 30 to 40 minutes, and then leave. He wants to neutralize believers from fulfilling their God-given purpose. I saw this quote this past week, and the author of it is unknown, but it says this: Satan's primary tool is not an active sinner, but an inactive saint. He wants to neutralize you from serving the way that God has called you to serve. Because if you're simply just coming in and filling a seat on Sunday morning, you're not a threat to his kingdom. You're not a threat to depopulate his zip code. You're not a threat to him, so he's going to keep letting you be that way. And unfortunately, I believe we have so many people who are living that out. And one of the reasons why they are living that out is because they don't think God has gifted them in any way. So the first step you got to do is take is to believe God has gifted you with some type of spiritual gift. Let's go to false belief number two, though. Maybe you believe God has gifted you, but it's not anything important. So why even try? Why waste your time? It's not important. Every part of the body of Christ is important. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. He says none of these parts later on that can say to the other that they are not needed, because every part serves an important function in the church. Believers, though, often believe their role isn't important, so they don't step up and serve in that role. They feel like the church can do without them. And this happens a lot with the background roles in the church. Great example of this was Thursday at Eric's funeral. I didn't know how many to expect, and they just kept rolling in here. And it was myself, Elizabeth, Sarah, Bernard, and the whole Needham family here from our church, and David. David was greeting at the door. And, you know, David said, "Do you want me to greet?" And I said, "Yeah." You know, that open the door, make people feel welcome. Well, people just kept rolling in here, and there was a bunch of kids here. So Elizabeth jumped in, and Elizabeth, you know, was informing people the nursery's located in the back if you need to take your kids back there. She got coloring books out for the kids to entertain them during the funeral. And then as they kept rolling in here, Bernard had to get up and put chairs out. We had chairs sitting back there. Because we were running out of seats. All I could think about was imagine how hard that would have been if it was just me here, including tech and sound. I can run tech and sound off my iPad. I have done it before in a church service where I've handled basically everything they're doing back there from my iPad. But it's not something I enjoy doing. They all served their purpose. That was all background roles. Do you think anybody knew their names from the funeral on Thursday? Nah. Did they have a public role? No. But they served an important role so that I could serve my role, which was to preach the gospel to some people that probably were not believers. Hopefully plant a seed in their hearts. One day would sprout into a tree. Every part of the body of Christ is important. I remember Sunday mornings at the gym in Seagrove early on in the church. This was before Zach and Corey gained the courage to do tech and sound. Because we asked them, but they were shy and bashful too. But I remember pulling up on my iPad, using my iPad to switch the slides, just setting the soundboard and leaving it. I mean, it was stressful. Another example of this, I'm taking my Sunday mornings now before church. I'm spending time in my office reading through my sermon over and over and over again so that I can come up here and use less notes, come out from right here and talk around. I'm doing that because I don't feel like I have to be out here. Because we have greeters at the door, we have hosts inside of here, and we have a church family that is very loving that I believe you're going to talk to people when they come in. I don't feel like I'm needed out here, so that enables me to do something which is focus on my time with God, going over my sermon that's going to affect everybody in this room. There's been times before where I felt like I had to greet and preach and do sound and do tech. And if you're doing too much, you're not doing anything well. And so because of all the background parts that might not get on stage, might not be a public part, they're serving their part so that ministry can happen here at this church. Every part of the body of Christ is important. That includes tech and sound, cleaning, kids, lawn care, greeting, etc. Might not be the platform, but enables us to deliver the gospel from the platform because you're doing the stuff that needs to be done around here. False belief number three is that God has gifted you to be something you are not. This one is one we fall for often too. This happens in two ways. Sometimes we believe we are gifted to do something more public, when God really may have gifted you to do something in the background. Maybe you think you're gifted to teach or to preach or to be on the worship team or whatever it may be. Teach a table gathering, whatever it may be. But maybe God has gifted you to do something that's more in the background. On the flip side of that, though, some people believe they are gifted to do something in the background when God is wanting you to do something that is more public. I'll use Elizabeth as an example. Elizabeth came to church. She just gave me a look. Elizabeth has a beautiful voice. You think she told us about her voice for like the first ever how many months? No, it took her husband ratting her out for us to find out that she can sing. Sometimes we are gifted in ways that we don't like to admit because of the work that comes with it. But God wants us to serve where He has called us to serve. If we're not, it hinders the work that needs to be done. So the first step for all three false beliefs is to believe God has gifted you in some way. The second step is this: discover how God has gifted you. Discover. If you don't believe, you're not even going to try to discover. So that's why I believe is the first step. Second step is discover. Let's talk about how to discover. First of all, probably a good place to start is just to ask God how He has gifted you. You can do that through prayer. We have a God that we can approach that will talk to us if we take time to listen. So if you believe that God has gifted you, take some time to find out how He has gifted you. And once you ask Him, you might not get the answer in a form of direct voice to you. But watch, there'll be opportunities put in front of you, God kind of guiding you in that direction, and be aware of that. For me, when I begin to feel the call in the ministry, I ask God, is this really what you want me to do? And all of a sudden, random customers at Food Line would tell me that they believe I'm called in the ministry. All of a sudden, God would put opportunities out there for me to minister to other people, including customers, who would then say, hey, you'd be a great pastor. That was God communicating with me that this is the direction He's called me in. So if you want to know how God has gifted you, ask Him. Second way is discernment. Sometimes other people can see something in us that we don't see in ourselves. A lot of times we are blinded by our own shame and sin that we don't think we are capable of anything. You know the worst things about yourself. And a lot of times, because you know the worst things about yourself, which God has done for God if you're a believer, because you know the worst things about yourself, you don't believe that you are capable of being used in any way. But there's something about the opinions of others. They don't know all that. A lot of times, if you're meeting a stranger or someone new or whatever, they only see who you are now, which is how God sees you. And so Hebrews 10, this is actually 24, it's wrong on this screen here, says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is when the author of Hebrews is talking about meeting together. He says, push one another to love and good deeds. But in order to do that, we have to help people to see how they are gifted. So one thing that we can do for our fellow brothers and sisters is to not hesitate to tell others how we believe God has gifted them. Encourage them. Push them as Mark pushed Elizabeth. I'm thankful for those who spoke into me. I'm thankful for those customers at Food Line. I'm thankful for my coworkers at Food Line. I'm thankful for the people at my old church who spoke into me so that I could live out my calling. I think the third way, the point is discover. The third way to discover how God has gifted you is to discover. Sometimes you just had to go out and discover yourself how you have been gifted. Sometimes it takes trying something in order to see if you're any good at it. I thought about Peter. Do you think Peter had preached a sermon before he did in Acts 2 after the coming of the Holy Spirit? Nowhere, I don't think, in the Gospels is it recorded that Peter preached like a full-on sermon. But then in Acts chapter 2, he receives the Holy Spirit, he preaches, and he has a pretty good response when 3,000 believers come into faith in Jesus. I think Peter discovered he had a gift. And throughout the book of Acts, we find him preaching multiple other times. Sometimes you don't know what you have until you give it a try. Isn't the saying, you don't know what you have until it's all you got? Something like that. Let's talk about point number three. Step number three, develop the gifts God has given you. You've got to believe you have some gifts. Discover it. But then once you discover it, you can't just sit back and say, Lord, thank you for gifting me this way. You've got to develop the gifts God has given you. I think Jesus set a model for us to follow through his ministry. He taught his disciples. He taught his disciples. He taught his disciples. And what we have recorded in Scripture, I don't think even includes the personal conversations that took place between Jesus and his disciples, where he probably went up to Peter and said, Peter, you're a loudmouth. You'll probably make a good preacher. He probably went up to John, the beloved, and said, hey, you're pretty merciful. I think you might be fit to do this in ministry. I think Jesus taught them how to do ministry, and a lot of that teaching I don't think we see in the Gospels. We see the grand teaching, but I think there's a lot of personal conversation, personal discipling, where Jesus was helping them to discover. But then I love Jesus' model here. He says, learn. Learn how you have been gifted. Learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And then go out and live it out. He called the 12 together in Mark 6, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority to preach the gospel over impure spirits and to go and do ministry. I'm sure he was like, you spent all this time learning, now go. And I'm sure during this ministry, I think they learned what they were good at. Who was a good speaker? Who had the gift of healing? Who had great wisdom? Who could perform miracles? How had God gifted them as individuals? I bet you they discovered it because they went out. But then what did they do? They came back and they learned again. And this was a process. Then he sends the 72 out. And then Jesus ends up going back into heaven and he sends them out to make disciples. And then the Holy Spirit comes on them and they are learning, continuing to learn what it means to be a follower of God. And then they're going out preaching, doing ministry work, continuing to sharpen their skills. They learned, they lived, they repeated. We are called to do the same thing. Over the past year, here's where I think our church is at. I think we've had some people come in this church. We've had them learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I think we've had people be discipled. I think there's been some personal conversations going on, not necessarily between me and you, but other people in the church about how you are gifted, what God's purpose is for you. Now is the time for us to live it out. Now is the time for us to put our actions to what we know in our head, while continuing to be a lifelong learner. I believe God has gifted me the gift of teaching and preaching. But that does not stop me from continuing to listen to other pastors and how they preach and things that I can add into my sermons and things that I can change about how I deliver this to the congregation. Doesn't change that I took classes to learn how to preach, even though God had naturally gifted me with them. I developed that in me. Because God has gifted me. I fan that flame. Whatever God has gifted you to do, fan the flame. Develop it. Get out and try doing something new. And you'll see your gift will develop, especially with experience. That's for me. Actually doing it, I get better by actually doing it. I would hate to go look at my first outlines of my first sermons. I mean, I have looked at them, and they're embarrassing compared to what they are now. But I've learned as I continue to do, I've continued to develop that gift. I won't brag on David Whitman. He's not here today, so I figured I could. David, I know our Celebrate Recovery group, he teaches that sometimes, and he teaches with Wes on Tuesdays. David has been a part of our church since almost the get-go. And I actually texted him this morning. I says, I'm talking about you during the sermon. Don't get a big head. I say, you know it's going to be combined with something bad, though, so just hold. I'm sure he's laughing right now. Those of you that have heard him teach on Mondays and Tuesdays, he always says, basically in our Tuesday group, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't feel called to do this, or I don't think I'm able to do this. I've had that conversation with him multiple times. He doesn't think he's capable. He doesn't think he's able. He's just amazed that we even allow him to teach. It's one of the things that he didn't believe he was capable of doing. But anyone that has heard him teach knows he is capable of doing it. We all know David is not the smartest guy. But God has gifted him in such a way to fulfill that purpose in our church. Another example with David. David is an introvert as well. He's not the most outgoing guy. So when we asked him to greet, he wasn't too sure about it. But he's the best greeter I've ever seen in my lifetime. His head's probably swelling up in his house right now. He's pretty good at it for him to be an introvert that doesn't necessarily like talking to people, that needs time to himself. Those are gifts that God has given him. David is one of the most merciful people I know. And I don't think that's naturally in David. I think it's a gift that God has given him. David is someone, a great example of someone who has stepped up. Who has discovered how God has gifted them, has fulfilled that purpose in our church, and he plays a key part in our church. Funeral on Thursday, all 90-something people were greeted at the door by somebody because David was here. I didn't ask him to be. He just was here. Thankful for that. Thankful for David. I want to know how God has gifted you. God has gifted everyone to serve a specific purpose in the body of Christ. And we need everyone to be who God has called us to be. But not just in the church. The examples I've given today is about how God has gifted people to serve in this church. But here's my last point for you. Be who God has called you to be where you are. He gifts you for a specific purpose, not necessarily to fulfill something here on this campus, in this building, on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, or Tuesdays, or Mondays, or Fridays. Sometimes he gifts you to serve a specific purpose where you work, where you spend the majority of your week with the people that you spend time with. Maybe God has gifted you with a specific gift that's going to help you to be able to reach a certain person at your work who's going to reach 100 other people. That might be your purpose. Be who God has called you to be where you are. Schools. In your homes. In your friend groups. Out in public. However God has gifted you. Believe God has gifted you. Discover it. Develop it. Live it out. And you'll see God use you in amazing ways. Here's how I want us to end today. If you notice in the seat in front of you, there is a note card, or there should be. Please grab that note card now. Worship team, you can come on up. I'm going to put up a list of spiritual gifts. This is a list that I made right before service because it's been a busy week. I want us to spend some time right now in prayer with the worship team playing quietly. And I want you to ask God, how have you gifted me? How have you gifted me? I'm going to move you so that you're not blocking the TV. Does that work? How have you gifted me? What's the purpose you have given me? I'm going to go through these briefly. Prophecy means that God has given you ability to speak a word about maybe a certain individual. He's given you some knowledge that maybe you didn't have before. Serving, self-explanatory. Maybe you just have a servant's heart. Teaching, self-explanatory. Encouraging, maybe you're a great encourager. I'll brag on Angela since I bragged on David. Angela's a great encourager. If you ever need a smile on your face, talk to Angela. Giving. Some people are just givers. They're willing to give to whoever is in need. They give generously to the church. They give above and beyond 10%. Leadership, self-explanatory. Mercy, they have a heart for other people. People that are hurting, that are in need of help. And I'm going to go in with helps here. This is helping others in need. Goes with mercy. Similar things, but different. Some people are just rooted to help people who are in need. Wisdom, self-explanatory. Knowledge, this is knowledge of the scriptures. I think Randy has this one. Randy can spout something off the top of his head just like that. We all know Randy's not that smart either. Knowledge. Faith. I've explained that for myself. Healing. Maybe God has gifted you this ability that when you pray for somebody and you lay hands on them, maybe in your past you've seen them healed. Miracles. Same sort of thing. Speaking in tongues means that God has empowered you to speak in a language unknown to yourself, and someone confirms that, interprets for you what's being said, and it's all to the glory of God. How has God has gifted you? I want you to write it down. I want you to take some time to pray. How has God gifted you? And then I want you to, below that, write how He can use that gift in your life. At the end of your life, what do you want your purpose in life to have been? What do you want? What legacy do you want to leave behind? You want people to say, hey, they were wise, and they used that wisdom for the good of other people. Man, they helped people in need. They were one of the most merciful people I know. How can you serve? Take a few moments now, pray. Write it down. You can write your name on it, but you don't have to. But I'm going to ask you during the next song to come lay it up here and to pray and to ask God, use me. I'm giving this over to you because you've given it to me. Now use me to fulfill my purpose in this life as I strive to follow you. Let's take a few moments. When the worship team begins to sing, you'll stand up. As you feel led, come up here, lay it down on the altar. If you need to spend time up here praying, spend time up here praying. Ask God how He's gifted you. Seek to serve your purpose in this life.